And instead of going into the promised land that the Lord was giving them, they were afraid and doubted. And so God said, your generation will die out in the desert, and your children will go into the promised land. And so in Deuteronomy, what we have is Moses recounting to this new generation, before they are going into the promised land, what their parents, ancestors had gone through up to this point, and what they had gone through. In fact, at one point, Moses says, it wasn't to your fathers that this was done, but for you, saying everything that their parents had gone through is as if they had gone through it as well. So, I wanted you to realize that. I think it's a good idea to get to know your Bible. And so, instead of reading the Ten Commandments from Exodus, we'll be reading it from Deuteronomy chapter 5 this morning. Will you stand with me as we honor God in the reading of His Word? And we'll read all of Deuteronomy chapter 5 together. Moses summoned all Israel and said, hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up to the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of your tribes and your elders came to me. And you said, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. But now why should we die? The great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Go tell them to return to their tents. But you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, decrees, and laws you were to teach them to follow in the land I am giving them to possess. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Let's pray. Lord, you are a great and mighty God, and you have shown your glory and majesty not just to Israel, but to us. Lord, we see it. We see it clearly through your word. We see it clearly through your law, and we're brought to our knees confessing you as Savior. We need you, Lord. Bring us to your cross. I pray this morning that you would speak clearly through your word, and that we would see your majesty, that we would be humbled, and that we would follow you in complete surrender. I pray this in your name. Amen. Will you please be seated? So we've spoken before of how these Ten Commandments show us God's majesty and his power. Nothing wants to work today. All right, you're in charge. Go ahead. There you go. This morning, we're going to look at the ninth commandment. We've skipped the eighth commandment because next week we're going to look at the eighth and tenth together. We're going to look at coveting and stealing. And we're going to see that coveting actually is underlying all of these commands. If we don't covet, we won't steal. We won't desire what's not ours. We won't murder. We won't do these other things, but that's for next week. This week I want to talk to you about this false testimony. The command says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Go ahead, BJ. So what is false testimony? There's many ways to look at this. We can look at this in the very narrow sense. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, which is a false accusation, a false witness. When you have a trial, the trial is usually based on the testimony of eyewitnesses. If you have no eyewitnesses and you don't have the actual DNA samples and things like that, you're not going to have much of a trial. But how horrible is it when witnesses get up at a trial and don't speak the truth? When they'll give false testimony to incriminate someone who has done nothing wrong. So in the narrow sense, when God's speaking of the Ten Commandments, he is definitely talking about this. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not falsely accuse your neighbor. In fact, we know that through the other commands and laws that God gave, that the only way someone could be brought up on charges was on the testimony of at least two or three witnesses. And so God had put in, at the very beginning, put in his system of law that the Israelites were supposed to follow, a way that people wouldn't be falsely accused. But we know from the New Testament, in the trials of both our Lord Jesus and the first martyr, Stephen, that this was commonly abused. Both Jesus and Stephen were falsely accused of things they hadn't done. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. We should always speak truthfully when it comes to events that have occurred around us. If we are ever asked what happened, we should give our best recollection. not falsely accusing. And if any of our testimony would accuse someone, we need to tread very lightly and be very careful of that. But this morning, I'm not going to sit and talk to you about this false accusation as much as these other branches of false testimony. False testimony could also be talking about false allegations, slander of someone, gossiping about them, assassinating their character. I know none of us do that, and there's never any dysfunction in our families because we always speak the truth in love, as the scripture says. But how easy is it to get partial information and let your mind and your mouth destroy that person so quickly, so easily? Do not give false testimony about your neighbor. We're supposed to think of each other more highly than ourselves, but instead what happens, anything that comes in, any tiny piece of information, we are quick to destroy someone's character. We are quick to decide the worst about those people and then pass that information along. Scripture says in Proverbs, first to present his case seems right, till another comes along to question him. There's many times as a pastor someone comes to me with some information, and it would be very easy for me to jump to a conclusion and decide, oh, you're right, we need to do something about this. But over the years I've learned, wait, there's probably a lot more to this story than has been told so far. Let's withhold anything as far as judgment until we have all the information that comes in. I don't mean to be rude to people, but a lot of times I say, you know, I never believe what one person has told me. I'm sorry, I'm not questioning your character, but I'm just letting you know that there might be more information that you don't know. And maybe it's a good idea if you would not speak about the information you think you know, for fear of breaking the command. False testimony, false accusations, false allegations, and false information. Lying, we call it. Little white lies. You know, it's amazing to me how many organizations who prey on people, who try to destroy people and get money out of them, how often they seek out Christians to do it to. You would think by Scripture that Christians would be the wisest people on the earth. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the revelation of God. We have discernment. And yet, church after church, the most gullible people you'll ever find are in the pews. I can't tell you how many times there have been just absolutely ridiculous claims that Christians gobble up right away. We seem to be the least concerned about truth when we should be the most. Hiding the truth, believing lies, all these things are supposed to be off limits for us. Let me tell you a little bit about my background. I grew up in a household, we were Jewish, and my dad was Jewish by blood. My mother and I were converted to Judaism when my mother married my dad. And all I ever knew growing up from my dad was lies. My dad was one of those that you would call a pathological liar. He wouldn't tell you the truth if he could tell you a lie instead. He enjoyed that. Now, my grandfather on my mother's side loved to embellish the truth. He would exaggerate, he said, on things. If he went fishing and only caught something that big, he'd tell you he caught a 12-foot shark. He never knew how not to exaggerate. So my life growing up, I never knew truth. All I knew were different shades of lies, and I was very good at lying myself. Manipulation, all of that was part of my family dynamic. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. But the whole dynamic of my family was to manipulate other people to get them to do what you wanted them to do, what you needed them to do, and anything was good to do. My father, I never even knew his age until I stood over the tombstone, his gravestone. That was the first time in my entire life I actually knew when he was born. Because I don't even think he knew his age by the end, because he had changed it every time he told it. And that was just typical in my family. When I came to Christ, the reason I came to Christ was this very thing. I thought there has to be truth out there somewhere, and I want to find it. The reason I became a scientist is I thought the scientists knew the truth. And so I went into science trying to discover truth, and I found out they had no clue what truth was. And the statement that Jesus makes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will tell you, out of all the scripture in the Bible, that was the one statement that got into me and got me to seek Christ. He says he's the truth, I have to find out. Because all I ever knew was lies. And so after coming to salvation, to me, this has been the most important thing. Knowing truth. Not putting up with lies. And not breaking this particular command. Now, I want you to see where the root of lying comes from. Go to the next slide. Do not give false testimony. Why is it so wrong to lie? It seems like we all know it's wrong to lie, whether or not you know Christ as your Savior. Everybody knows in the back of their mind they shouldn't lie, even if they do all the time. They know it's wrong. They don't want people lying to them. Why? What is it about lying that is so absolutely horrible? Well, lying shows the character of your father, Satan. Satan was the one who first lied and caused humanity to fall into sin. He questions God's character to Eve. He says, did God really say you can't eat anything in this garden? She says, no, God just said not this tree. Oh, well, that's not right. You know God really wants you to have your eyes open, but why would he tell you not to eat of that tree? All these little lies twisting the truth, and Eve falls for it, and mankind falls into sin. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. False accusations all the time against you and I. If you yourself struggle with false accusations, if you yourself have this low image of yourself and you're always deciding that you're a horrible this or a horrible that, I'm the worst parent that there's ever been, I'm the worst friend that there's ever been, I can't do this right, I can't do that right, that's just Satan speaking these things into your ear. Satan's the father of lies. Go to the next slide. Jesus says to the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders of the day, they come to him and they don't recognize Jesus as the Savior. And so he tells them flat out, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If I am lying to you, then I am showing you the character of Satan, the devil himself. I am displaying his glory for everyone to see. Have you ever stopped to think about that? With a little white lie even? Now let me tell you, this idea of always telling the truth will get you in a lot of trouble. Does this make me look fat? How do you get out of that question? These are dumb questions because nobody wants the answer. Nobody wants the truth in these things. But all that, if you come to me with some kind of question like that, I'm going to be forced in as subtle and pretty a way to do it. I'm going to be forced to tell you the truth. Pastor, what do you think if? Well, that's sin. I'm sorry, but God says that. But how much better is that in the long run than someone who would lie to you about things? Do I have something in my teeth? No, you look great. Then everybody else tells you you got something in the middle of your teeth. What's your problem? Nobody wants to come near you. Does my breath smell bad? No. Nobody else wants to be within 10 feet of you. Scripture's clear about this. Lies, there aren't good lies. There's no little white lie. You think that you're helping someone by lying, but in the end you're destroying them. How do I know this? Because Satan is a destroyer and he's the father of lies. You see, we want there to be this big gray area in the middle of God's commands. We don't want there to be black and white issues that are easy to separate. We want it all to be gray because we like living in the gray and not being condemned by our actions. But the truth is, lies are Satan's domain. Go to the next slide. False testimony is condemned by God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's contrary to God's character. That should go without saying. If it's Satan's character on display, then it can't be God's character. God is truth. He can't lie. And God's people are supposed to show his character. First of all, condemned by God. BJ, condemned by God. Next slide. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. God condemns this kind of behavior. In Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. The next time you feel like you're sparing somebody's feelings by telling them a lie, realize the Lord detests your lips at this moment. Detests. Oh, that's too strong of a word. Yeah, it's absolute holy hatred. Do not lie to each other, the New Testament tells us. You're good. Go back. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Somebody might say, well, Old Testament. No, this is a New Testament teaching here as well. Lying is evil no matter where it's done or who it's done by. You can't lie and do God's work, which, honestly, as a pastor, that was something very difficult to get used to. If I'm going to go to somebody and I'm going to help them, they want their pastor's help in understanding what to do in a situation. They want some sympathy. They want all these things. I need to make sure that I don't say little stupid things designed to keep their feelings from being hurt. I don't lie because I think I'm helping them through the power of God, because God will not be part of the lie, no matter how good the lie might look. Go to the next slide. Titus 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth. Everything Paul is writing is for the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Next slide. He goes on to say, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, catch this, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. How can I lie and say that I'm following my Savior? God does not lie. It's not part of his character. It's contrary to his character. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I can't go around saying I love my Savior if I'm not going to speak in truth. Now, I don't speak in truth brutally. This is not sharing your mind with people if you speak truthfully. Some people think that it's okay to say something truthfully, and it doesn't matter if it hurts somebody, but they don't realize it's the way that you say it. Do you love that person? That person was created in the image of God. Do you care for that person? If so, you can tell the truth without being a jerk. You can find ways to let them know what really is happening in a way that will help them. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken it off, your old self with its practices, and put on the new self. And listen to this, your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Christ, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then you are now a new creation in Christ. The old has passed, the new has come. And then in Colossians and in Ephesians and Philippians, he tells us to take off that old self. You're a new creation in Christ. So that old self, get rid of it. Get rid of it with its lies, its slander, its ungodly character. Take it off as if it was a filthy garment. Throw it in the trash. Because you now have been clothed with Christ. Walk like that. Reveal the character of God through your life. Lying reveals the character of Satan. It's part of the old life. It's to be discarded. Walk instead in the image of your Creator. Go to the next slide. In 1 John, the Apostle John says it this way. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. What character do you display? The character of God in the new life that He's given? Or the character of Satan? Go to the final slide. Is lying something that you don't even realize you do because you just grew up doing it? That was my testimony. I would lie about things that you just wonder, why would you even bother lying about that? We had a teenager in the youth group years ago, and we went to Panama City on a youth trip. And it was the most bizarre thing. Get out of the car and there is just a puddle of apple juice on the ground. And what in the world? And turned to this youth and said, did you pour out your apple juice on the ground? No, I didn't. I thought it was really strange because I wasn't upset about this. I just wondered what I was stepping in. Did somebody urinate next to my car before I got there? Or was this really apple juice? You know, and she had an empty bottle in her hand of apple juice. 20 minutes earlier, we had just stopped at a convenience store and everybody had gotten drinks and she had gotten apple juice. Why would you lie about something like this? You have an empty bottle in your hand. Nobody else has had apple juice. You see what I'm saying? It was something she just did. She would lie to you about her own name. Just didn't know how to do anything but lie. Didn't know Christ. Prayed for her over and over. Please, come to know the Lord. She didn't know how to do anything but lie. But if you know Christ as your Savior, that's not your testimony anymore. It may have been your testimony. Now your testimony is a godly life in Christ that has been given to you. Do you wear it? Does it show? What comes out of your mouth, what comes into your heart, is it truth? And I'll just say this, if you're not in the Word of God, you won't be able to know the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? Him. His word. What is your character about? Are you convicted by the truth? And when you speak, who is it that you display? Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. You are truth. In you there is no lie. You are light, and in you there is no darkness. Convict us, Lord. Convict us, Lord, that doing things the way the world does them is not displaying your character. You remain with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Will you ask the Lord to search your heart? To show His light into the corners of your heart? To be able to see the truth of your actions, of your words, so that you can repent? Will you repent? Will you stand before the Lord and just confess? Lord, I know my heart has been filled with gossip and slander. I know that I have lied. I know that I turn away from the truth. Cleanse me, Lord. I confess my sin to you. Your word says that you're faithful and just, and will cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. And Lord, whatever I have done that has destroyed others, Lord, show me that I can make amends, that I could ask their forgiveness, and show your godly character. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as you're in worship to this great God, I want to invite any this morning who have seen the need for a Savior and are willing and ready to be saved. Any here this morning who have seen their sin for what it is and know that need for God's forgiveness. Any this morning who are being saved to come forward and share that with us. If you recognize your sin for the first time as an offense against a holy God, and you recognize the need for a Savior, and know that Christ died on the cross for your sin to set you free, to give you new life, if you hold to Him, claim Him as your salvation, claim Him as your righteousness, and say, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. There is no other. I place my trust and hope in you. If this is your testimony this morning, a true testimony, Christ is now your Savior, then will you share that testimony with us? Will you walk down this aisle and just say, Pastor, Jesus is my Savior. I'm giving my life to Him. I'm being saved. I want to follow Him forever. We'll wait for just a few moments for you. Come forward and share that with us this morning. Lord Jesus, I give you praise. I thank you this day. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Will you stand as we're dismissed?